Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Go ahead.
God is good. All the time. Amen. Y'all have a seat. We are excited to be here this morning.
Yes.
Praise God. On Palm Sunday. Hallelujah. Yeah, what a difference a week makes, right? Man. So, today we have an awesome opportunity here. We are going to introduce some new members. On Thursday night, we had a membership class. It was the first one that we've done. And so we announced it Wednesday night. It was not something we had thought about before, so we didn't get it in the announcer, but we did announce it Wednesday night. If you want to be a member and you didn't know about it, we're going to have another one. We're going to have several membership classes, yeah. Guys. So this is not something that's just a one and done. We're going to have several. And so this week, everybody say this week. On Thursday.
Thursday, March 28th.
March 28th. I want to make sure I got the time right. 2:00. 2:00. Okay, so this the one we had was Thursday night. This one's at 2:00 in the afternoon. If you can't make it and you want to be a member, we'll have another one. So no worries, okay?
Yeah, we're going to do them at different days and different times to make sure everybody can be there.
Everybody can be here. So if you would like to attend this membership class coming up on Thursday, March 28th at 2:00, you are welcome to come. You can sign up if you want. I don't know that there's actually a sign-up sheet, so don't worry about it.
Show up.
You just show up, yeah. Okay? 2:00, and we'll have everything that we, you know, you need. We'll have the membership form and things like that. But today, we get the awesome opportunity to welcome some new members.
Right.
Amen? Praise God.
So we're just going to ask these people just to rise and stand where they
stand.
Are and remain standing until we're
please.
Done.
Please.
Yeah.
Yes, please.
Yeah.
So we're going to call your names out. Jim Smith. You'll stand up,
hey.
Remain standing. Linda Segal.
Where's Linda?
Awesome.
Back there.
Chris Brown.
There.
Ernesto and Christina.
Petrozella.
Thank you, Rick. Larry Brown.
Where's Larry?
Larry, y'all please stand up. Stay standing, please. And Bill and Karen Sorrells.
Right there.
All righty, if y'all will
praise
stand
God.
Up. Hey. Guess what, family? Church family, we just received new members. It's a boy and a girl. Amen? Praise God. Y'all stand up, remain standing. We're going to pray over you guys. And we're just excited to have new members in Grace Tabernacle.
Amen?
Amen?
Yes. Thank
Praise God.
God. Go ahead and
so,
pray.
We're just going to pray right now. Y'all just join us. Father, we thank you for the new members at Grace Fellowship, Grace Tabernacle, excuse me, Grace Tabernacle. And Father, we just thank you that they're bringing their supply to this church body. We thank you, Father God, as we welcome them into membership, Father, that just like you, Father, you don't want anybody not being part of what you're doing. And I thank you that they have joined us here in what you're doing, Father. We just speak a blessing over them. We thank you, Father God, that everything they put their hand to prospers, that, Father God, that they are led by you. Father, most of these people are already serving, and so we just thank you for their service. We thank you for them bringing what you have given them to do to the body of Christ here at Grace Tabernacle. God, we just bless them, and we thank you for them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You guys can be seated.
Amen.
Thank you.
You know, there's power in agreement. There's power in unity. So we just became more in agreement and more in unity today. So what's that tell you? More impact.
Amen. More
Amen.
Impact.
Praise God.
Praise,
Praise
God.
God.
A further reach. You know, a lot of times, you know, we obviously can't reach everybody, but you reach people that we'll never reach. And you have a world that you can go in and change. You know, they can listen to us on Facebook. You know, there's preachers everywhere preaching, but not everybody's going to listen to them. But you can go and take the gospel to your world. And so we just encourage you to do that, to influence your world. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I've got one more announcement, and I just want to mention the nursery slash GT Kids. We're calling this room over here, it's GT Kids. If you would like to serve, maybe one Sunday, or you know, just help us in that area, we would love for you to do that. I need you to see me where we can get a background check on you. Many hands make light work, and I will tell you, there's an awesome young lady I saw this morning. She's 9 years old. I can't wait to see her next week in that class.
Amen.
I am so excited for what God has for these kids here at Grace, and I am glad that God wants to touch them in a way. You know, the reason that we have Kids Church and we minister to kids is that they learn the same gospel, but it's taught to them a different way. And I'm gonna tell you, they can change the world. God's intended for them to change the world. They'll be here when we're not, and we want to put that into them. Think about it. We want to change a generation, but you know, you won't always be here, but they will. So we're gonna impart this gospel and impart God's love into their lives. And so, if you'd like to be a part of that, please see me. We'd love to have you help serve in there. It's gonna be fun, and I tell you, it'll be a blessing for you. So that's it.
Yep. Children are messengers we send to a future we cannot see. It's important that we equip them with the right message. Amen. Did you know we have a bookstore? Y'all know that? We do. I want to encourage you to visit our bookstore. I'll tell you something that you may not know. Our bookstore is the only Christian bookstore in the Villages that we know of. I mean, Debbie was telling me that, and I did some looking online myself. It's the only, I think the nearest one other than ours right across the hall over here is in Ocala. This is more convenient. So, I want to encourage you to support our bookstore. Hey, y'all like my new Bible? This isn't really my new Bible. Debbie, she's the director of the bookstore. Raise your hand, wave. There she is right there. Amen. But this is a children's adventure Bible. It's pretty cool, right? I think a kid would like getting one of these. It's got tiger stripes over here and a tiger on the front and cool stuff inside as well. So I just want to encourage you that our bookstore's got some great gifts, some great Bibles for all ages, and just some great books that'll help you become kingdom winners. Amen. Help you to disciple yourself and learn more about the kingdom. Amen. Well, let's jump into the Word. How about that? Let's pray. Father God, thank you for today. Thank you for Palm Sunday. Thank you for what Jesus did for us. He did it all. And we thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, I ask you, touch our hearts, change our lives with your Word today. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Palm Sunday. Will you hand me that water, Rebecca? I'm sorry. Palm Sunday. So Palm Sunday is the day we remember and celebrate Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Amen. It kicks off Passion Week, or some people call it Holy Week. But Jesus is welcomed into Jerusalem as king, as Messiah. Amen. He enters in a kingly way. He's on the people are cheering for him. He's riding a donkey, and y'all know this. They're putting palm fronds and their cloaks down in front of him. He's riding the donkey under them. And all that stuff was very meaningful. You know, in Zechariah 9, it said the Messiah would ride into Jerusalem on a donkey. And so these people knew what they were seeing when Jesus rode in on this donkey. The cloaks and palm fronds laid in front of him, that was how they would welcome a conquering hero or a king. Amen. And then the people are cheering, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And what they're saying there is a fulfillment of prophecy from Psalm 118. And the Pharisees told Jesus to make them stop. And Jesus said, if they stop, the stones will cry out. Amen. You know, previous to this, Jesus would heal somebody or do something. He'd say, you know, don't tell anyone. He's not saying that now. He's letting them proclaim, this is the guy. Amen. And so again, this kicks off Holy Week or Passion Week, which culminates in Resurrection Sunday or Easter. When we celebrate the resurrection, that'll be next week. I'm looking forward to that. You know, something interesting. So during this week, leading up to the crucifixion and the resurrection, on the night before the crucifixion, Jesus had some parting words, parting instructions for his disciples. I would say he would tell them some really important things, wouldn't you? Amen. Yeah, sure he would. And it's interesting to me, you know, if you go over to the book of Acts, before Jesus ascended, he had parting words for them again, you know? And there again, he's getting ready to leave. He's getting ready to go away. So I would think that what he had to say to them, again, would be very important. Did you know that one of the things he talked about both times was the same? He talked about the Holy Spirit. So I want to talk about the Holy Spirit this morning. It was so important that he talked about it both times. Amen. They were about to go through something trying. They're about to see Jesus crucified on the one hand. He's going to ascend, and they're going to be there to take this thing on their own. Take this bull by the horns, right? So these instructions are very important. So Jesus is equipping them with the thing that's going to be the difference maker in their success. How about us today? Are we living in trying times? You know, Jesus said in Matthew 24, one of the signs of the end times would be lawlessness. You know, I heard this week that a relatively major southern city, a capital of one of the southern states, and I won't say which one it is, I don't want to diss anybody, but their mayor just came out and told the police to stop giving out speeding tickets. Wow. Lawlessness. I mean, I'm going to go there and drive 90. Not really, I'm just saying. I mean, what's that? Lawlessness. That's lawless. Jesus told us this was coming. I'm going to tell you, we're going to need the Holy Spirit. I know Rebecca and I, we've ministered several times in the Czech Republic, and it's a very secular nation. Like, probably 10% roughly of the population are Christians, and the rest are non-Christians, and they think if you're a Christian, you're a little off your rocker over there. But we did a conference, and a Methodist church hosted it. And I was talking to the Methodist pastor, and we had to use a translator because I don't speak Czech and he didn't speak English, but he was telling me he was Methodist and they were all Spirit-filled. They believed in the baptism and the Holy Spirit. When I was telling him that typically here in the United States, Methodists aren't, he was really surprised. Right. He said, you know, we need the baptism and the Holy Spirit in this country we live in. I'm going to tell you, folks, we need the baptism and the Holy Spirit. We need it today. So let's take a look at the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And this is an introductory message. I could come back and we could talk about this for weeks, but we're not going to do that. So this is introductory. We're going to hit some highlights here. But man, these are important highlights. And with the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, there's just benefit upon benefit for us. Upon benefit. And I think you'll see that today. And I think for a lot of Christians, you know, in Acts 19, I was talking to somebody earlier about this. In Acts 19, it's Rex. Rex is here somewhere. I was talking to Rex about this. And, you know, the Apostle Paul found some disciples and asked them if they received the Holy Spirit when they believed. And they said, we have not so much as heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Man, we don't want to be like that, right? We want to know the Holy Spirit and receive the ministry he has for us. Let's go to John 16. We'll start in verse 7 here. Now look at this. This is Jesus talking. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. If Jesus has to say, I'm telling you the truth, he must really want you to grab a hold of this and believe it, right? I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. That's the Helper. Now look here. He says, it's better. It's to your advantage that he goes away. It is better for you to have the Holy Spirit in you than Jesus sitting physically beside you. That's interesting to think about. That challenges my mind. I don't know about yours. That challenges my mind to think it's better for me to have the Holy Spirit in me than Jesus sitting beside of me. Think of that. Man. That's awesome. He says, but if I depart, I will send him to you. You know, why is it better? I'm not sure I understand the fullness of this, but at least one reason it's better is the Holy Spirit can be in every believer everywhere. Jesus can be, and physically can be in one place. Now, there are billions of believers today. Okay? It'd be pretty hard to get close to Jesus if he was here physically and the Holy Spirit wasn't. But we can all have the Holy Spirit in us. The Holy Spirit can be in me here and in people in Europe and Africa and South America and all over the world and every one of you here. Isn't that awesome? Yeah, we can have this personal relationship with God even though we don't have Jesus physically with us. Let's look at verse 8. And when he has come, the Holy Spirit, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Three things. Now, people take this as negative. But I'm going to tell you, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is positive. It is positive. This isn't a bad thing Jesus is talking about here. This is a good thing. You're going to see that. Okay, look at the next verse. He's going to define this for us. Okay, there's three things the Holy Spirit will convict of: sin, righteousness, and judgment. Look at verse 9. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. I want you to know sin here is sin, singular, and not sins. The sin the Holy Spirit convicts us of is not if I cussed, if I had a lapse of anger and let it get out of control. It's not if I got drunk, if I lied. It's why didn't you believe on Jesus? What compelled you to lie or get drunk or cuss or whatever it is you may have done? What compelled you to do that? Because whatever compelled you to do that, whatever that was inside of you pushing you to that thing, Jesus is the answer to that. Yes. Not that action you took. So the Holy Spirit's going to keep pointing you back to Jesus. The answer, the answer, the answer, the answer. Amen. He's never going to condemn. Now, we might feel condemned if we do something wrong, but it's not God condemning you.
That's right.
There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. God is not the one who condemns.
That's
right. Our own flesh might condemn us, or something demonic might get in there and want to condemn you and get you beat down. But God is not condemning you. The positive ministry of the Holy Spirit. Benefit upon benefit upon benefit upon benefit. If you've ever felt condemned, you need to partake of the positive ministry of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Look at verse 10. Of righteousness, remember there's three things. Sin, singular, one. Sorry, I've got 50 things going through my head, y'all. Y'all okay? Sin, righteousness, and judgment. There we go. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. He didn't say he convicts you of unrighteousness. Righteousness. He doesn't come and say, why'd you do this thing, you low down skunk, you? He comes and says, you're righteous. Despite this thing you've done, despite this mistake you've made, you are still the righteousness of God. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He keeps pointing you back to God, pointing you back to Jesus, encouraging you, saying, man, Jesus loves you. Despite what you've done, you are still right with God.
That's right.
Amen? That's good news to me, because I don't always do everything perfect. I'm the only one here, I guess. It doesn't always do everything perfect. Sometimes I need the Holy Spirit to say, hey, you're okay. God still loves you. You're still right with him.
Right.
Amen. The positive ministry of the Holy Spirit. Because Satan, who's the accuser of the brethren? Man, if we hear accusations coming at ourselves or someone else, we need to realize who the accuser is.
Yes.
It's the devil, the accuser of the brethren. God's not accusing you. He's not condemning you. Look at this. This is Jesus talking. Now, I'm going to tell you, probably all of us have heard someone stand up and say, man, I did this thing over here, and the Holy Spirit just beat me up over it. You might have heard people say something like that. But folks, I'm going to tell you, it wasn't the Holy Spirit beating them up. Because he convicts them of the one sin of not believing on Jesus. Okay? And that you are right with God. Think of this. What an awesome thing. God in your corner encouraging you.
Right.
Amen. Yeah. God in your corner encouraging you. God's not making us miserable. The Holy Spirit's not mean. That's good news. Amen. He's not condemning you. He's not accusing you. He's saying, hey, I still love you. You're still right with me. I'm for you, not against you.
That's right.
Amen. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father. Because I go to my Father, you see me no more. This salvation package we've been talking about. Salvation includes forgiveness of sins, you know, getting to go to heaven when you die. It includes healing. It includes provision. Healing, you can actually walk in divine health. Yeah, that's possible. We'll talk about these things eventually. So healing and health and provision, deliverance, all this is part of the salvation package. Jesus is paying the price for all this so we can receive it. We don't have to lie and cheat and steal and manipulate and do all these things to try to get this stuff, because Jesus has provided this awesome salvation package. We can just partake of the divine nature of God and escape the corruption that's in the world through lust, as Peter wrote about. Remember? Amen? That's good news. Amen? So this salvation package is coming. Let's look at verse 11. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. He's not judging you because you made a mistake. He's saying the loser is the devil. He's defeated. The ruler of this world is judged. Oh, man. Jesus dropped a hammer on his head. He's defeated. All he's got now is deception. That's all he's got. It's to try to deceive you. And the Word of God is the thing that keeps us out of deception. So if you want to stay out of deception, we need to be in the Word. Amen. Amen. Be in the Word. The ruler of this world is judged. He's not judging you. Amen. That's right. He's saying, look, the Holy Spirit's not saying turn or burn.
Oh, that's good.
Right? If you're in Christ, you're not going to burn. You can't possibly fit into hell.
Right.
It won't work.
Yes.
You're born again. You're a child of God.
Yes.
Amen. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. You're the kings and the lords. He's king and lord of.
Yes.
That's who you are. Amen. He's got a house prepared for you in heaven. That's where you're going to fit into.
Yes.
It's pretty awesome, isn't it? The prince of this world is judged, not you. Amen, yeah. The condemnation that tries to come on us, who does that actually belong to? The devil. Think of that. We're not going to do everything perfect. We're going to make mistakes. And the Holy Spirit's going to be there to say, this is one of the reasons we want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's going to say, hey, you know what? Believe on Jesus. Believe on Him. That's the singular sin He convicts us of. And then He says, you know what? You are right with God despite this thing you've done. And this condemnation trying to come on you, turn that around. Throw that back on the devil. This belongs to you, you stinker. It's a pretty weak word, but you know, you can't say too much more up here. If I come down there, no, I'm joking. Verse 13, let's jump to verse 13, John 16, 13. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. Jesus said, my word is truth. God's word is truth, right? He's going to guide you into the word. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears me speak, and He will tell you things to come. Benefit upon benefit upon benefit. You know, in John chapter 8, it seems like I say this every time I get up and minister, but in John chapter 8, Jesus said to those Jews who believe, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You will know the truth. So here you got the Holy Spirit guiding you in all truth. He's trying to disciple you as well. Man, if we'll yield to the Holy Spirit, He'll help us. He'll help to disciple us. Y'all tracking with me here? What? He will guide you into all truth. Jesus told them, if you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and the disciples will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Are you tracking with me here? Connect. You know, one of the definitions of preaching is to string pearls together. We're stringing pearls together. Amen? So, track with me here. When the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit wants to guide you into all truth. He wants to make a kingdom winner out of you, where you win in the kingdom and you win for the kingdom. That's good news to me. I need the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you, I need the Holy Spirit. We all need the Holy Spirit. And He will tell you things to come. Now, there's a nice benefit. You know, wait 10 minutes before you leave the house. Yeah, don't go to that part of town today. Don't comment on your mother-in-law's hairdo. I'm not sure that's telling you things to come, but y'all are tracking with me, right? Think of this. Look at the benefit upon benefit upon benefit of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. No wonder the devil has worked so hard to convince people, this isn't for today. No wonder. He does not want you thinking that this is a benefit to you. But it's a tremendous benefit. And this isn't it. There's more. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. So this is the other place, you know, right after Jesus says the things we're going to read, it says he ascended. So these are last instructions to his disciples. Yeah. He's about to leave. He's about to ascend to heaven and hand this thing to them. This thing being the ministry, right? The church. He's about to hand this thing to them, and this is his instructions. Now remember, before he said this, he'd given them the Great Commission.
Right.
Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Make disciples. Command them to, y'all know, all right? So look, let's look at what he said. In light of that, look at this. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. So here, they've got the Great Commission, but he's saying, don't go and do that until you receive this.
Oh, yeah.
So should I jump out in ministry without the Holy Spirit? It's quiet in here. I'm thinking we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we're going to accomplish the call on our life, if we're going to accomplish the call, we need the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I mean, what's Jesus saying here? Being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem. Now, they've been commanded to go to all nations, but don't you leave here until. But not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. So here, another thing, there's so much in these verses. Here he calls the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father, promise. Okay, promise. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says all the promises of God are yes and amen. Okay, so therefore, this is all over the Bible. You can just go anywhere and see this. Therefore, if all the promises of God are yes and amen, then the promise of the Father is still yes and amen today. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is still for us today.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Amen? It's for you today. Is everybody okay? Good. Because we're not done yet. Verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, and here he clarifies it, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now, okay? Not many days from now. Okay, I'm going to skip verses 6 and 7, and we'll jump down to verse 8. Look at this. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. There again, before they go and start fulfilling the Great Commission, get this. I'm going to tell you, folks, before you go and start fulfilling your calling, get this.
Yes.
Would Jesus tell us something different today? Would it have changed? Or is he actually the same yesterday, today, and forever, like it says in Hebrews 13:8? He's actually the same yesterday, today, and forever. He'd tell us the same thing today. I've called you to do this, but you need this first. I've called you to do this, but you need the Holy Spirit first.
Amen.
He tells us the same thing today.
Amen?
Amen? Yep. So, but we see another benefit here, power. It's the Greek word dunamis, which means miraculous power. Miraculous power. It's got the same root word as dynamite. That's powerful. Amen? And it's power with a purpose. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. So it's power with a purpose. What's the purpose? To be witnesses. What do witnesses do? Produce evidence. Witnesses produce evidence. He's referring here to signs and wonders. Signs and wonders aren't for the super dupers or the chosen few. It's for you.
Yes.
Amen? Jesus said, you'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Amen. You'll be a witness. This is for everyone.
Yes.
This is for everyone. He's talking to you. You'll be witnesses. Where? Next door? Wherever it is. Amen. You'll be witnesses. In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. You'll produce evidence. You know, Jesus is real. The Word is real. He's risen. The power is real. This salvation package belongs to you.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Signs and wonders will follow you. Power, because you've got power. You know, think of this. We need to see ourselves different. I really believe this. We need to see ourselves different. You know, the old covenant prophets were powerful. Was Moses powerful? Was Elijah powerful? Was Elisha powerful? Sure they were. You know, in, I think it's Matthew 11, Jesus said something about John the Baptist. He said, among those born of women, there has not arisen a greater than John the Baptist. Now think about that right there. Basically what he's saying, in my estimation, is of all the prophets, John's the greatest. Now you think about that. How's John the greatest prophet? I don't see any record of John working miracles and things like Moses and Elisha and Elijah and others. But you know, here's the thing I feel like God showed me is all the other prophets were saying, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. John said, he's here. Whoa. That's awesome. So he said, of those born of women, there's not arisen a greater than John the Baptist. But the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than him. So if John's the greatest prophet, then you're greater than any of the prophets. We're just, yeah, amen. This is true. We need to see ourselves different. As he is Jesus greater than any of the prophets? Would you say yes to that? John, 1 John 4:17 says, as he is, so are you in this world. Man, see yourself different. See yourself different. This power's for you. Okay, let's move along. I gotta hurry. Gosh, is the baptism, can y'all listen fast?
Put a lot of
stakes
out there.
Yeah. Ooh. Is the baptism in the Holy Spirit for today? Yes, it is. I showed you one evidence there in Acts 1:4 where he called it a promise, and all the promises of God are yes and amen. Let's go over here to 1 Corinthians 13:8 and look at another one. This is actually a portion of Scripture a lot of people use to explain away the gifts, particularly tongues. Okay? Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. So someday, tongues will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. Look at verse 9. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. Look at verse 10. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. That which is perfect. So people tell you, well, the Bible's that which is perfect, so, you know, tongues and prophecy have passed away. There's a glaring flaw here. Have y'all seen the glaring flaw? Knowledge. Go back to verse 8, please. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. Has knowledge vanished away? If you think it has, perhaps for you, it has. You know, in Daniel, it says in the end times, knowledge will abound. It'll increase. It's going to get even more and more. Man, think of the internet. We see prophecy being fulfilled right in front of our eyes. Knowledge is abounding right now. It's increasing. So knowledge hasn't vanished away. So therefore, that which is perfect, and I'm not saying the Bible's not perfect, but it's not. It can't be that which is perfect this scripture is talking about. Do y'all see what I'm saying? This is simple. Don't overcomplicate this. Let's just read it again. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. Verse 9. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. Verse 10. But when that which is perfect has come, so what's that which is perfect? Then that which is in part, such as tongues, prophecy, and knowledge, will be done away. Well, knowledge is certainly for today. So this can't be this as perfect as it is, it's not the perfect thing spoken of here. It's referring to the second coming. That which is perfect. I'm telling you, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for today.
Yes.
Along with speaking in tongues.
Amen.
Okay. I'm going to hit a couple. There's lots of benefits. This benefit upon benefit to speaking in tongues, to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'll hit a couple of these. There's just not time to do them all. Let's go to Jude 1, 20 through 21. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit builds you up in your most holy faith. This is a reference to praying in tongues, an unknown language. Amen. Look at verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God. This is a continuation of the same thought from verse 20. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So you build yourself. This is benefit of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues. It builds up your most holy faith and keeps you in the love of God. The word keep here, some of y'all, I'm sure, you've probably been to Europe or seen on TV or whatever, these castles, right? These European castles. You ever seen a castle? Anybody? You know what I'm talking about? Well, we were in the Czech Republic ministering one time, and they took us to tour this castle. And this castle had this a keep. Remember the word keep here? Keep yourself in the love of God. This castle had a keep. And this keep was this... It was huge. I mean, it was probably big in diameter from the front to the back of the sanctuary. But it had stone walls 30 feet thick. Wow. Imagine that. That'd be hard to get through with modern military equipment, I would think. I mean, I don't know. But back then, it'd be nearly impossible probably to get through that. Okay? So when the castle was attacked, the noble family or the royal family, whatever lived in that castle, they would keep themselves. They would go into the keep, and basically they were unassailable. Nothing could touch them. They were keeping themselves. So that's what this reference is. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Man, when we pray in the Spirit, you put yourself in an unassailable position. Keep yourself in the love of God. That's powerful. Benefit upon benefit upon benefit to being filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Let's look at a couple more. Okay, let's go to 1 Corinthians 14:4. 1 Corinthians 14:4. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. Anybody got rechargeable batteries? Yeah. You plug those things in and recharge them, right? Mm-hmm. He who speaks in a tongue edifies, builds himself up. It's like a recharging of yourself.
Yes.
Amen? I'll tell you, if you pray in the Spirit, it'll make it a lot easier to operate in the power that God has for you. That dunamis power. That power with a purpose. It'll be easier for you to do that. Amen? You build yourself up. Amen? Again, we're talking about some of the benefits of praying in the Spirit. Let's look at Romans 8:26. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for. Sometimes I don't. I'm thinking, holy cow, what should I pray for here? For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Spirit himself makes intercession for us. Likewise, it says there, likewise the Spirit also helps. If you read that in the Greek, it says the Spirit takes a hold of it with you. Now, if you've got a problem, and you're not sure what to do with this problem, a great thing to do is to pray in the Spirit over that problem. Because according to Romans 8 here, what happens is the Holy Spirit takes a hold of that problem with you. Yes. And he can move things.
Yes.
Yes. Amen? I'll tell you, one of the things our flesh does not want to do is pray in the Spirit when there's a problem. We want to think about the problem. We want to talk about the problem. We want to meditate on the problem. Is that not true? Man, we need a purpose. I'm not going to talk about the problem, think about it. I'm going to pray in the Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Over this problem. And let the Holy Spirit take hold of this thing with me, because I'm going to tell you, God can move it. Amen. All right, let's hit another one here. Isaiah 20, y'all okay?
Yeah.
Isaiah 28, 11 and 12. Now, let me say something. You can make a note of this. 1 Corinthians 14:21 quotes a portion of this verse. So this what we're going to read here in Isaiah. This is a reference to speaking in tongues that we do today. Are y'all there? This is a prophecy looking forward to that. Isaiah 28:11 says, for with stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to this people. Okay, so this is foreseeing when we would receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and pray in the Spirit, pray in tongues, okay? Look at verse 12. To whom he said, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. Now we're hearing, right? We're not hearing. We're hearing. So this, how many of you ever feel like you could use some rest or some refreshing?
Amen.
Pretty much every day, every 5 minutes or so. Yeah. So this is the rest and refreshing. Praying the Spirit is a rest and a refreshing. Think of all it does. It builds you up. It's a rest and a refreshing. Man. Okay. I've already talked about this, I think. But I want to show it to you. I mentioned in Acts 19, when the Apostle Paul found some disciples, so they're born again, and he said, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, we haven't even heard there was so much the Holy Spirit. So this shows you, Acts 19, that you can be born again and not have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. See, one of the things people say is you get it all when you get born again. Well, what's the Bible say? Let's not look so much at what people say. Let's look at what the Bible says, right? So that's one, Acts 19. Well, let's look at another. Let's go to Acts chapter 8. Acts 8, verse 14. Yeah, there we go. Now, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. So we know so far they've received the word of God. Okay, what's verse 15 say? Who, when they came down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. So they'd received the word of God. Here, they received the Holy Spirit. Verse 16, what's that say? For as yet, he hath fallen upon none of them, for they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, were they born again?
Yes.
Obviously, they were. They'd been baptized. They'd received the word of God. They'd been baptized in the name of Jesus. They're born again. But they had not received the Holy Spirit yet. So here, they received the Holy Spirit. See that? What's verse 17 say? Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Separate experience from salvation.
Yes.
Salvation's great. I'm not knocking salvation. I'm just telling you, don't stop. Keep on going. God's got more for you. He's got power, power with a purpose. He's got benefit upon benefit upon benefit. The Holy Spirit will come and indwell you, convict you of the singular sin of not believing on Jesus, encourage you, just keep pointing you back to Jesus, begin discipling you, leading you into all truth. Think what the Holy Spirit does. It's awesome what the Holy Spirit does. Amen. So it's a separate experience from salvation, though. How do you receive the Holy Spirit? Super simple. Say super simple. Let's look at it here. Let's go to Luke 11. Verse 11, if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he, the father, give him a stone? You don't want your kid breaking your teeth on a stone. Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? No. Good heavens. No. Verse 12, or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? That'd be pretty rotten, wouldn't it? Verse 13, if you then, being evil, remember Jesus said there's none good but God. I mean, compared to the Lord, God.
Amen.
Yeah. If you then, being evil, know how to give good things to your children, give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? So how you receive the Holy Spirit? Ask.
Pretty simple process.
That's simple. Super simple. That's right. Super simple. How do you receive it? Just ask. And laying on of hands, we saw earlier there in Acts 17, then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. So laying on of hands can be part of that. But just ask. Amen. Tons. Tons. Sometimes, occasionally, people will receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you've asked for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you've received it. That's what the Bible says, right? How do you receive it? You ask. Doesn't matter how you felt, really. Some people feel something, some don't. Occasionally, people receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit and may not receive their prayer language, tongues. And because of that, they'll think they didn't receive. I'm going to counter that. I'm going to tell you you did receive because the Lord said, when you ask. Amen. When you ask, you give. You know, God's not holding something back from us. He wants you to have it. So why don't people get their prayer language? I think a big reason that our head can get in the way. Our head can get in the way. And I see two common mistakes people make. One is they think, what if I mess it up? What if I mess it up? I've really thought about this. I've applied my mind to this question. And the conclusion I've come to is I'm not sure how you can mess up an unknown tongue. How do you mess that up? I just don't know. So let's just dispel that. You're not going to mess it up. I'll be praying for people to receive the baptism. I can speak English. Rebecca told me to stop saying I can't speak English. So I can speak English. So I've prayed for people to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell them, you know, just repeat after me.
Yeah.
You know? And or not. But if people repeat after me, I'm going to tell you, their prayer language is not going to sound like mine. They're just in letting go and stepping out in faith. They speak in their own prayer language. Amen? So that's one. You can't mess up an unknown tongue. That's one. And another mistake people make, I think, is they think the Holy Spirit's going to make them pray in tongues. He's just going to like possess you, and it's almost, now forgive my crassness, but it's going to be almost like throwing up, just like involuntary. Just, blah. That's not what happens. That's not what happens. And let's look at Acts 2:4 here. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They had to begin to speak.
Yep.
Do you see that there? The Holy Spirit's not going to take possession of you. God's a gentleman. He's not going to make you. If he's going to make you do anything, he'll make you get born again. But he's not going. He doesn't make you do that. He's not going to make you do this. He's a gentleman, okay? He gives you the empowerment to do this, but we have to cooperate. We're laborers together with him. So we open our mouth and begin to speak.
Yes.
Amen? There it is. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. How many? All of them. All filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So don't let, that's two common mistakes I see people make. They think they're going to mess it up. And then they think, and you can't mess it up. And then they think, well, you know, it's just going to happen. And we have to cooperate. We have to speak. Okay? And I'll tell you one other thing, and then we're going to give an altar call.
Yeah.
Another thing, this is a great thing to do on Palm Sunday. Remember, this is the instructions Jesus gave to his disciples right before the crucifixion, right before the ascension. If it was important for them on Palm Sunday then, or the Holy Week, Passion Week then, I think it's important for us today.
Amen.
Especially in this lawless world. The stuff we see going on. Okay, one other thing I want to tell you. And I don't know that I've known anybody that hasn't experienced this. I did. Probably about everybody did. But you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you pray in tongues, you pray in the Spirit. And then later on, these thoughts will come to you. That was just you. That wasn't God. You just made that up. That's the devil desperately trying to keep you from praying in the Spirit, from receiving these benefits that God has for you with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He desperately doesn't want you doing that. It's so powerful. It's so good. There's so much benefit to it for you, so much benefit to it just in every way we've talked about and more. There's even more to this. Amen? So don't believe that lie. If it comes, when it comes, don't believe it. You got it.
Amen.
Amen. You got it. So I want to pray for some people to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So let's all stand up. So I'm going to ask Rebecca to come down here with me. I'll ask the prayer ministers if you'll come. If you'll come. I'm going to give three altar calls. Well, we'll open it up a good bit here. But okay, if you've never been born again, you can absolutely change your destination today if you've never been born again. If you're not sure if you'd go to heaven, if something were, God forbid, if something happened to you today, if you're not sure you'd go to heaven, today's your day. Amen?
Amen.
Today's your day. So we want you to receive salvation. So if you've never, if you're not sure what your destination would be, let's change your destination and make sure you're going to heaven. Secondly, if you've never received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, it is super simple and super essential. So many benefits, man, why wouldn't you do this? I want to encourage you to come and receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. If you've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if you prayed to receive it, you got it. You got it. Okay, but if for whatever reason your prayer language didn't come, you know what? Today is the day. Yeah, no need to leave here without it. It's yours. So I want to encourage you to come as well. And if you need healing, or if you need somebody to agree with you in prayer, I want to encourage you to come. So let's just come. There's no need to wait, no need to hesitate. I want to encourage you to feel this if you